Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are on Daf Chaf Bet Amud Bet. That's 22B. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Now, we are right in the middle of 22B. I'm going to count from the top. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 22 lines down from the top, right at the beginning of the line where it says Gufa. Gufa always is a word that says that there was a teaching that was brought up incidentally earlier, and now we're going to go back to the original source and discuss it. So in this case, there was a story that we spoke about Rav, who made a trip from the land of Israel to Bavel, and there were two surprising things that he did there. So we had mentioned that in the context of Torah reading, but here we now want to discuss the other aspect of what Rav did. Regarding Torah reading, he had gotten up to read from the Torah, and he said a bracha before the reading, but he did not say a bracha after the reading, and we wanted to know why he didn't say a bracha after the reading. And the second thing he did, which was what we're going to discuss now, is that when everyone fell on their faces for tachanu, when they leaned over on their faces, he did not lean over on his face. So that's where we come back to. Gufa. Rav ikla l'Bavel. Rav went to visit Bavel. Betani tzibor, and it was a public fast day. Kam kra b'sifra. He got up to read from the Torah. Patach brich. When he opened up the Torah to read from it, he made a bracha. Chatam. When he closed it up, after he finished reading, v'lo barich. He didn't make a bracha. Nafol kule alma a'an paihu. The whole congregation, the whole world fell on their faces. V'rav lo nafal alan pei, and Rav did not fall on his face. My taima, that's the abbreviation, mem tet, stands for my taima. What is the reason? Rav lo nafil ala pei, that Rav did not fall on his face. Why did he not do what everyone else in the congregation was doing? So we're going to give a number of suggestions. Suggestion number one is, Ritzpah shel avanim haita. There was a stone floor in the congregation. So in the shul that he was at, there was a stone floor. And as we'll see in a second, there is a biblical prohibition of bowing down on a stone floor. V'tanya, as it is written in a braita, quoting this verse from Vayikra. This is a verse in Vayikra 26a. It's discussing idolatry. And it says there in Vayikra that you shouldn't do idolatry and that you shouldn't have Elilim and other idols. And then it mentions ve'even maskit, a crafted stone floor. Lo titnu va'artzechem, you should not put in your land, that's the land of Israel, lihishtachavot aleha, to bow down on top of it. Now it's possible that the stone floor was an object of worship, meaning that idolaters would bow down to the stones. Or it's possible that they used the stone floor as an implement of worship to their idols. But in any case, it sounds like you may not bow down on the stone floor because it is connected to idolatry, or it might look like idolatry. But the Braita learns as follows. Because it's a lihishtachavot aleha, to bow down on it, it says, aleha iyatamishtachaveh be'artzechem. On it you shall not bow down in your land. The previous phrase had said in your land. Now that makes it sound like perhaps it's an issue only in the land of Israel, but outside the land of Israel it wouldn't be a problem. But the Braisa continues, Aval ata mishtachaveh alavanim shel Beit HaMikdash. But you may bow down on the stones in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Beit HaMikdash also had a stone floor. So it could be that the issue is that within the Beit HaMikdash, you're allowed to bow down on a stone floor, but outside the Beit HaMikdash, you're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. Now, that might be because of idolatry, or it might be for another reason, as we say, kid'ula, like the opinion of Ula. Do amar Ula, lo asra Torah, the Torah only forbade, el ritzba shel avanim bilvad, a floor of stones alone. Now, that's a little cryptic all by itself, because it makes it sound like any floor of stones is problematic. But what Rashi says is, it's comparing it to the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, the Isser here is imitating the worship of the temple outside the temple. So basically, it's not 100% clear what's happening here. We know that there's a prohibition of bowing down on stones, but we don't know if the problem of bowing down the stones is because it looks like or might be seen as an idolatrous act, or because it's an act that resembles temple worship and therefore it is a forbidden act except for in the temple. So the commentaries discuss both those possibilities. But regardless, we have a question. Ihachi, if it's so, my iria Rav. Why is it only taught about Rav? Afilu kul hunami. Even everyone else in the shul should be bound by the same rule, meaning whether it's an idolatrous practice or it's a practice that's not allowed outside the Ben Hamikdash, it should apply to everyone, not just to Rav. So the Gemara answers, Kame de Rav have. Well, the stone slab was only in front of Rav. So however it worked out, everyone else in the congregation was not standing on a stone floor, but maybe it was a place of honor or something like that for Rav, that he was on a stone floor. So everyone else could bow down without being on a stone floor, but Rav could not. So the Gemara asks, V'lezil legabed tzibura v'linpol al ape. Let him go to where the rest of the tzibur was, and then he could fall on his face, meaning he could have just walked off of the stone section and bowed down with everyone else. Lo boy le mitrach tzibura. He didn't want to cause a problem or a delay in the congregation. So Rashi says the problem with the delay would be that when he got up to move, everyone, because he was an honored personality, everyone would have to stand up for him, and it would cause a delay in the shul. Perhaps one could also argue that it was crowded or that he would have to ask other people to move in order to change his location, but he didn't want to create a tircha de tzibura. The Ibait Ema, another possibility. So the first possibility was that there was just a piece of stone in front of Rav, and he wasn't able to move, so he didn't bow down on it. Another possibility is that Rav, Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim Hava Avid, that Rav didn't just bow down when he was supposed to bow down during, and this is, I'm assuming, on a Tani Tzibur. We don't have such a custom to bow down on a Tani Tzibur. We only do it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but maybe he had such a custom. But his custom was to bow down Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, that is to lie down completely on his face with his arms and his legs stuck out, completely prone with his entire body on the floor. And that was Rav's custom. Uchidu Ula, and according to Ula, the Amar Ula, lo asra Torah ela pishut yadayim v'raglayim bilvad. The Torah only forbade sticking yourself out completely on the ground, meaning it's possible that lying down on the stone is permitted, or that the bowing down on the stone is permitted as long as you don't do it completely, as long as you just bow down on the stone. But if you prostrate yourself completely with pishut yadayim v'raglayim, maybe that is impermissible. And maybe our assumption earlier was that even if it was biblically forbidden to do Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, maybe it was rabbinically permitted even to bow down not Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. And here maybe we're saying that it's not rabbinically forbidden. It's only, the only problem was to do Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the Gemara asks, V'lipol al ape. Okay, so maybe not everyone else in the shul was doing it all the way down. Maybe they were just bowing down, not completely prostrating themselves. Let Rav do that. He could have just bowed down without completely prostrating himself and been like everyone else in the shul, and also not violating the biblical commandment. So the Gemara answers, Lo mishane mimin hagei. That was his custom, and he didn't want to change his custom. So he either was going to bow down completely, prostrating himself, pishut yadayim v'raglayim, or he wasn't going to bow down at all, but he didn't want to change his custom or do the custom in a way that he wasn't used to doing. So that is answer number two, that since he couldn't completely fulfill his minhag, he wouldn't do it. Here's answer number three. V'ibay dema, an alternative, I could also say, adam chashuv shaini, that an important person like Rav is a little bit different. K'derebi Elazar, like Rebbe Elazar, d'amar Rebbe Elazar, as Rebbe Elazar says, ein adam chashuv rashai lipol al panav, an important person is not permitted to fall on his face, Ela in kenana ki Yehoshua bin Nun, unless he will be answered like Yehoshua the son of Nun. In other words, I think what it's saying here, and we'll see that there's some difficulties with this proof, that unless you're as great as Yehoshua, you shouldn't be falling down on your face. And here's the proof. Dichtiv, as it says, Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua, kum lach v'gomer. So this situation here is that Yehoshua led an attack on Ai, and the people of Ai defeated the Jews, and they were very stunned by the fact that they had been defeated. And now they're davening to Hashem that they should be able to succeed in the battle and defeat the people of Ai the second time they attack them. So Yehoshua falls down on his face, and then Hashem comes to him and says, Kumlach, get up. Lama zeh atanufel apanecha. Why are you falling on your face? Now, the first answer, the first appearance, it seems like Hashem is criticizing him, and that's what Rashi says. That Rashi is saying, even Yehoshua shouldn't fall on his face. When he fell on his face, Hashem told him, don't fall on your face, get up. In other words, Hashem is saying anyone who is as great as Yehoshua ben Nun or less great should not be falling on their face when they ask Hashem to help them. Alternatively, you could argue that Hashem accepted his commandment, but he said, you shouldn't fall on your face, really. Like, I'm accepting your entreaty, but the right thing to do is not to fall on your face. And so we learn from Yeshua that even though his prayer was answered because he was so great, that in general, we shouldn't fall on our faces. A third way of looking at it is that it was only in this instance that Hashem was criticizing him. In other times when he fell on his face or davened to Hashem, it was permitted. But even for Yehoshua, only in certain times was he allowed to fall on his face. Now, what's the problem with falling on your face? There could be a number of potential problems with it. One is it may look like you're being overly humble, like you are, that you're being arrogant by appearing to be so humble. Or it could be that by falling on your face, you debase yourself. It's so abject that people will lose respect for you because you've overly humbled yourself. A third possibility is that it's bad if your prayers are not answered. If you go to such lengths to daven to Hashem that you prostrate yourself in front of Him, you fall on your face, and then your prayers are not answered, people will think they will lose respect for their leader. In any case, it's a little bit of a confusing case, but it could be that Rav, for whatever reason related to dignity and respect, felt that as an Adam Chashuv, he shouldn't fall down on his face, even though it was okay for other people to. So in other words, we had three possible answers. One possible answer was that Rav would have moved off of the stone, but there was no room or no time for him to move off of the stone. The second is that Rav would have bowed down, except that his custom was to do Pishut Yadayim Viraglayim, and he didn't want to do that. And perhaps you can combine it with the first answer, that he wasn't able to move, so he wasn't able to do his regular minhag. And the third is that as an Adam Chashuv, he felt that it was not appropriate for him to fall down on his face. Those are the three answers. So we continue on 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom at the end of the line. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught that there are three kinds of bowing down. The first kind is kida, like vayikod al apav. So kida, that kind of bowing down, is al apayim, on one's face. Shenemar, as it says, vatikod bat sheva apayim aretz. The bat sheva bowed down to the ground. This is when she was coming to appear in front of David to tell him that his son had rebelled against him. So it says that she bowed down to the ground. So kida means to bow down to the ground. Now it seems like what kida means, as Rashi explains, is that you plant your feet firmly on the ground and you bow down from the waist so that your face goes all the way down to the ground. So the only part of your body that's on the ground is your face, and you'd have to be able to bend down. You'd have to be quite flexible, but you would be able to bend down all the way so that your face was on the ground. The next kind of bowing down is kriya, like vayichra, kriya al birkayim. That's a kind of bowing down where you put your knees on the ground and then you bend your face to the ground. So your knees are on the ground and your face is on the ground, but the rest of your body is still up. It's kind of like being in a bent over posture, like a plank or a child's pose, but your whole body's not on the ground. V'cheinu omer, and this also says, mikroa al birkav, from bowing down on his knees. The final kind of bowing down is hishtachava'a, like vayishtachavu, zu pishut yadayim v'raglayim. This is completely sticking out your hands and your legs. In other words, you're laying flat down on your belly, on the ground, with your arms and your legs stuck out completely. Shenemar, havo navo ani v'imcha v'achecha lishtachavot l'cha artzash. This is Yaakov speaking to Yosef about his dream. Shall I and your mother and your brothers come to bow down to you to the ground? So the assumption is to the ground means your entire body is on the ground. Now Tosfos points out that the proof texts here from the Pesukim are not absolutely muhrach, they don't exactly prove the point. But the idea that there are three stages, there are three kinds of bowing, one in which you put your face to the ground, one in which you put your knees and your face to the ground, and one in which you put your entire body to the ground, is the basic principle. I saw in the Koren that he brings a beautiful piece from Rav Kook about this, where he says that bowing your face down to the ground is a sign of making yourself bringing your physical body or your physical energy in humility before Hashem, that bowing your knees down is bringing your emotions and your yetzer, your inclinations, submitted before Hashem. And then putting your entire body before the ground says the entire package is submitted before Hashem. Okay, so now we have those three kinds of bowing down, and the Gemara offers a caution about doing it this way. Levi achve kida kame de Rebbe v'itla. Levi, certain sage named Levi, he bowed down, he did kida, where he bowed his face down in front of Rebbe, and he became injured. V'ha kagarmila, but the Gemara says, wait, is that what caused Levi to be injured? But we heard a different story. V'ha amar Rebbe Elazar, didn't Rebbe Elazar say, la'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klape mala? A person should not cast criticism heavenwards. Shahari Adam Gadol, there was a certain great man, Hitiach Dvarim Klapi Mala, who hurled insults or hurled his complaints to heaven. V'itla, and he became injured. Umanu, and who was that? Levi, it was Levi. So the Gemara answers, Havaha Garmile, both of them caused it to him. The fact that he was Matiach Dvarim Klapi Mala, that he threw his complaints heavenward, made him susceptible so that when he went and bowed down to in front of Rebbe, he opened himself to injury, and indeed he became injured at that time. But he wouldn't have become injured had he not already opened himself up to the punishment because he had done this other action. So I don't know. Obviously, there is a difference between bowing down before Hashem and bowing down before another person. So here, what Levi did is he made one mistake related to Hashem. He was matiach dvarim klapei mala, and another mistake perhaps in showing too much obeisance to a human being, to Rav. Perhaps he shouldn't have done that. And that may be suggested by the conclusion of our sugya here, the last line, where it says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Rav Chiya bar Avin said, Chazina lehu la'abaye v'rava, I saw both Abaye and Rava, dematzli atzluye. This is the first couple lines of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. And matzli atzluye here means that they position themselves on the side, meaning when they bowed down before people, they did not bow down straight the way they would, I'm assuming, maybe before Hashem, but they bowed down a little bit to the side. They inclined themselves to the side, so it was not completely straight bowing down, and therefore they avoided, I suppose, any problems of pishut yadayim v'raglayim. It's possible also, so I interpreted it that way, that this is when they were bowing down before human beings as opposed to Hashem, but it could be that the problem here is that they are Adam Chashuv, as we said earlier, that possibly Rav didn't bow down because then it's not appropriate for an Adam Chashuv to bow down unless he's as great as Yoshua. So perhaps Abaye and Rava here didn't bow down completely on their faces. Instead, they inclined themselves on the side because it was an act of humility. They didn't want to say they were such an Adam Gadol that they were allowed to bow down completely Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim without inclining to the side. Okay, we'll stop there and continue on with Daf Chav Gimel in our next recording.